Welcome to Success in Wellness, a new podcast dedicated to exploring the idea of success throughout the many journeys of women who found purpose and success by prioritizing their well-being. From wellness practitioners to marketing gurus, entrepreneurs or corporate girlies, my guests all come from a wide range of backgrounds and disciplines, but they all share one thing in common, a passion for helping others live healthier, happier lives. My name is Adeline Waro, and I am thrilled to be your host. Valentina, I am so honored to have you on the Success in Wellness podcast. Hi.
Hello, Adeline. No, it's me then. I'm really honored to be here. Oh. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you know, when I was preparing for the podcast, I thought to myself that I've known you for 2 years, I think. And
yes,
right, you moved to the United States like 2 years ago, right?
It's more like a year and a half, but what? It feels like more time. Yeah,
what? It's only been a year and a half. Wow. Yeah. Why do I have a feeling that I've known you like for longer than that? It's so strange.
Yeah.
But you know, when I was preparing for the podcast, I thought to myself that I only know Valentina the artist.
And that's so true, actually.
Yeah, I do. And you know what's strange is that we both lived in Berlin, not so far away from one another. We have, like, we know people, like, we have acquaintances in common, but we've met here in New York City. And when I prepared for the podcast, I was like, oh my God, life is pure magic sometimes.
Yeah, like the chances that we both lived in Berlin, but then we met only in New York.
I know. Do you remember the first time we met?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was in Park Slope in Brooklyn. Yes. We went at the cafe.
Yes.
And we both, we found out that our husbands already knew each other.
Exactly.
And that was so funny. So it's like,
what the
hell? Like the universe aligned, like, to let our encounter happening.
Yes.
It was
meant to be.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, it's, again, like, I keep wondering, like, how all of this, like, happens and how everything just makes sense, you know, after a couple of times when you realize, like, wait, how did we, oh, what? It's just like, yeah. It's the beauty of meeting people, and I'm just like so grateful to know you, and I'm thankful to have you here. Valentina Carore, did I pronounce that correctly?
Oh yeah, Adeline Kuro.
Yes. So Valentina, tell me about you. How do you want to present yourself to the pod audience?
Oh, you know, that's a question I've been trying to answer in the past year because I started a blog and with the first post, I wanted to introduce myself, you know, but it's very hard to let people understand who you are in just a few minutes. And so I remember I started like free writing, and at some point I came up with this line, and it says, I am the synthesis of my past and present selves full of future.
Oh, wow.
And so what I mean by that, I guess it is that I'm like this synthesis of the environments I've been part of, all the people I've met until now. But I'm like full of all these future possibilities, you know. So that is what this line means. But like in my case specifically, so talking about identity, I'm convinced that our identity is fluid and is made by various aspects of ourselves. Like we have our cultural identity. Mm-hmm. So I am Italian. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in this small town in Italy until I was in my mid-20s. Then I moved to Berlin and then to New York where we met.
Yes.
And now I'm in San Francisco.
What a journey.
Yeah, and I feel like I've discovered my love for big cities after living, especially after living in New York, and I feel that's because of the diversity that New York offered me. I mean, the opportunity to meet other immigrants like me, and it's like this, we have very different paths sometimes, but there's this common thread of seeking growth. Maybe in very different ways, but we are all seeking growth, you know? And this is beautiful. And so I feel like I have this multicultural identity.
I love that. I love that. And what you just said about New York City and like people moving here and having a common thread of like seeking growth, regardless of like the area of the life they are seeking growth in, whatever the destination, right? Is there is a sense of longing for something, and a lot of people find themselves in New York City looking for that thing, which we cannot define, but it's beautiful that also you like referring like a lot of immigrants, myself including, like we're leaving our countries to like seek something bigger for ourselves, and there is this like common strength and courage that it takes to just like uproot ourselves and just leave everything that is familiar and transition to the unknown. And oh my God, this is like such a good segue because earlier this week, I was watching an interview with Francis Ford Coppola about his new movie, Megalopolis. And he said something like, this is the only thing I can remember from that interview. He said, "When you leap into the unknown, you prove that you are free."
That is so beautiful and true.
Like, I'm getting goosebumps again just saying it out
I
loud.
mean, yeah, for a long time, actually, moving to the US was my dream, exactly because I saw it as the land where I could be whoever I wanted to be, just to be free from all external expectations that for so long, like, put me in a sort of cage, you know, metaphorically speaking. So yeah, I can definitely relate. I mean, we had very similar experiences
Yeah, we
from this
did.
point of view.
We
So
really
yeah.
did. You know, like something that you write a lot about in your poems, in your blog, it's transition,
Yeah.
transformation. And I would love to deep dive into like the many transitions that you've experienced and what you've learned from them.
That's a great question. So, talking about like pivotal moments that I went through, right? I mean, I've had many bumps along the road through this like journey of personal transformation that I am on. And I'm sure I'll still have them. But I can certainly identify one in 2021. It was winter, and I'm sure like in that period, a large part of the population, because it was we were already in the period of the pandemic, so especially women, I think the prolonged isolation and also all the dumb scrolling on social media, and I believe I read that it increased like the we have higher rates of anxiety and depression in that period, and for me definitely was the darkest moment I ever had. But I remember at that time, it was completely random, but I read this book. It's titled Existential Psychotherapy by Irving Yalom. He's a American psychiatrist, and it completely shifted my perspective towards, I mean, the way I perceived death, because that was like what I was suffering the most during that period, like this fear of death, also this loss of meaning in my life, because I was doing a job that I didn't love.
Yeah.
And so I was feeling, I felt very lost at that period of time, in that period of time. And just, I had this awakening experience just reading about others' experiences with death, like people having cancer, for example, and still experiencing this personal transformation. And at the very end of their lives, living fully their last moments, it made me realize that I really had an entire so many years in front of me, and I really didn't want to waste them as I felt I did until that point. And so in that sense, death has become a catalyst for motivation. So now when I'm scared of like doing something or taking a big decision, I imagine myself on my deathbed. And I just think that I do not want to have regrets. Or I really want to live fully. So that was I think my biggest pivotal moment. And another one was moving to New York.
That happened very quickly after that big pivotal moment in the end.
I feel like 2021 was the beginning of this journey of awakening, and then I experienced very quickly other pivotal points. Like,
did you turn 29 in 2021? How old were you? Just as a, I'm curious.
I was 28, but I was almost 29 in winter 2021.
I always talk about this, but like, you know, like it's the like our 30th life, years of life crisis, I call it. A lot of women, a lot of men are going through this. So it's
That's very true. I mean, age is a big component when you have this kind of like crisis.
And so like 2021 your transition started, and then everything kind of starting to be put into motion, right?
Yeah, exactly, because then the year after I finally, like, I had actually stopped looking for like changing continent, you know, because it was kind of impossible from a visa standpoint. So I was like, yeah, whatever, right?
It's really but hard then to immigrate the opportunity here.
But then the opportunity came, and I was like, I was like, let's do it right now, like, let's make it happen.
You didn't hesitate?
And so no,
I love that.
No, I really didn't hesitate. And in 2023, I moved to New York, and that was so exciting the first few weeks. But then, of course, I felt completely lonely in this new city. I knew just a few people. I had to learn everything from scratch, also like the food-wise, like there are banned ingredients in the US that we do not like, banned ingredients in Europe, but that US still use, right? So it was like,
sure.
I had to learn everything, and also I had to lose some relationships, some friendships, because, well, the distance, long distance is really a thing, because it's really hard to maintain the same relationship you had when you wake up, and in the WhatsApp groups they already finished the previous conversation, so you're like, I cannot join anymore because it's too late. And I also had some people telling me that I had just been lucky to have the
Ooh, that's
chance to
painful.
move to the US, because actually the opportunity came through my husband, because he found they hired you from the US, so it was, they sponsored his visa. But actually, in order to move with him, I had to do a non-working visa, and so
O1, I can't remember what it's called. O1A, O1B.
O1, and I have an O3, so
Exactly,
and still not allowed to work, and so hearing people that I love saying that I had just like canceled myself for a man. Even one of my managers in Germany telling me that I was throwing away my career to follow a man. And it was this hurt me, of course, because they didn't pause to really listen to me, to the fact that I was the one who wanted to move to the States. And just actually, my husband was wonderfully supported and just made it happen. So that was a difficult moment, to just readjust and settle in a new city and a new country. But eventually, when you start to go out, to meet people, go to events, pay for a yoga subscription, a monthly yoga subscription, you start to really live the life of the city. Then it is easier to start again. And
Yeah, I think there is this idea of like you grow up in an environment that shapes you, and you get all of those directions, those guidance from your family, your cultural environment, like the people you hang out with, like, and it kind of shapes you into one thing. And I was thinking about that the other day, is that until we are in our mid-20s, like everything, every choice that we made, we kind of made them because we were pushed in one direction. And you know, like for context, for the people who listen to us, like you've studied like medicine, like you went into the pharmaceutical like
I
route.
studied pharmacy.
Yeah, exactly, pharmacy.
Yes.
And so I believe that, you know, the people that hurt you in that process of transitioning from that career, from that idea of yourself to a new idea that they could not comprehend and they didn't anticipate. That's what's happening, is that when we are turning 30 or maybe older, but like in our case, it was when we were turning 30, we were like, wait, I have a dream. I'm just gonna go for it, and I'm gonna drop everything that I've done before because this is not serving that dream. Like my, like yourself, I also dropped my career to come here with my husband because we both wanted this. It was the enabler of the dream, like your husband.
Yeah.
But for it to be able to happen, we had to have the courage as women to say, I'm gonna step back from the career that I've built so that I can live the life that I'm dreaming of. And it's scary, it's crazy, it's wild, because we came here with a O3, which is a visa that doesn't give us the opportunity to work, which is crazy. It's
Literally, yeah.
a whole other topic. It's like I read about that visa and I was like, it was passed in like the 90s, and I still don't get why they would let anyone legally in the country and not giving them the opportunity to work. Crazy. Whole other topic. But
Especially the legal part.
oh my God. Don't
Yeah.
get, yeah. Let's not
No,
start.
let's not.
But can we, like, I think people just don't acknowledge enough how much courage it takes to just do that. And yes, we know it's crazy. We know we're taking a huge risk, but we're willing to take the risk. And sometimes I'm just thinking that I think sometimes I used to get very angry at people telling me those things as well, because I've had those experiences. And then I realized that maybe I'm making them uncomfortable. Like my choices are definitely like triggering something in them. But at the end of the day, you and I, we are not responsible. And it's not ours to, like, it's not our burden, like, to keep, you know, to, like, we just followed our dream. We didn't do anything else. It's like, and it's a bit sad because I had the same experiences where people were, like, questioning, like, why are you doing this? Like, you know, you're, like, you're such a feminist at heart. Like, you're such an independent woman. And now you're going to give up your career and, like, go to the U.S., not having the opportunity, like, no prospect as well of knowing and like when you would be able to work. And it's like, yes, we know, we don't need to be reminded of it. We know.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just, you know, like it's, I love that you said that once you were in New York City and you started like going out and meeting people, it's just like, it just kind of lift up because you just knew yes. You were in the right place at the right time and you followed yes. Your heart.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, regarding the part of taking risks, Yes, in order to move to New York, I had to quit my job and in a sense, that entire career, or at least pause it. Mm-hmm. And 1 month after moving, I found out that my entire working team in Germany got laid off.
Oh my God, no way.
And
wait, this what? Made me,
yes.
Wait, I didn't know about that.
You didn't know? Yeah.
No. But
sometimes I forget, but yeah, it actually happened. And you know, this at the time made me think that sometimes what seems like the safe choice is actually the riskiest one, because you want to, you value, of course, stability is wonderful, but sometimes when you, especially when you feel like something isn't right, you should take a step back and just look at the situation from another point of view and just reassess it objectively. Just, does it make sense to remain, or is it time to quit, right? Yeah. And I really do not regret having taken that decision at the time.
You know why? Because you made the choice. It didn't happen to you. You made the conscious decision to leave. You were not let go. And that took so much courage again to just say, I don't want this, and I'm saying no. Rather than it's so strange that you're saying that, because the first episode with Christina, she had the same experience where she left and a month later her whole entire team got laid off.
That's true, I remember that episode, yes.
What? So again, different background, different stories, but there is a common thread here where like the universe is testing whether or not you're definitely ready to make the choice.
Definitely. Yes.
And you in New York City, I feel like you really used that time to step into the wonderful artist that you are, right?
Yes. I finally had, like, from one point of view, I didn't have other choice, right? Because I finally had the time and no constraints to really dive deeper into who I really am. Mm-hmm. And I really used that time with a lot of discipline that comes from my dance background.
Yes,
I feel
true.
Like, because for 20 years, I was a ballet and contemporary dancer. And that's something that really taught me how to endure pain, but I mean literally physical pain, and still keep going. So like just persisting on this journey of discovering my genuine, my true self was easy compared to my dance journey. And so, yeah, just I remember I forced myself on a routine to, for example, to read at least 20 pages of nonfiction and fiction every day, to write at least 2 stream of consciousness pages every morning. Wow. In order to let my emotions out and let myself emerge from those emotions, right? And then it came quite naturally that apart from, besides my stream of consciousness writing, mm-hmm. I felt natural to express myself through poetry.
Yes.
And so that's how the way of expressing myself through art evolved throughout my life, because before I used to express myself through movement, mm-hmm. By dancing, but now it's mainly through words and visual art, because along with poetry, I felt something was missing. And then I went through so many, like, I tried a lot of different things. Like at some point, I thought my path was to be a 3D artist.
Mm-hmm. I sure remember that phase. Oh, yes, remember that.
You were pretty good phase. At it. Yeah, but I just figured it out for now, mm-hmm. A couple of months ago, like, because for a year I kept experimenting styles, mm-hmm. different formats, and I finally understood, looking from, like, I paused for a month and then I came back to my writing, because I'm writing a book and I'm illustrating it with visual art. And I finally looked at it from, like, an external perspective after a month. And then I realized, okay, this is what my art is about. This is why I do this. But it took a year.
How did you
More
feel?
Than a year.
How did you feel during that year? How did you cope with sometimes maybe realizing, like, oh, this is not it?
You know, I've had ups and downs, mm-hmm. and downs, of course, especially because, you know, I before I said that the environment shapes us, and that mm-hmm. is true, but I think also we are all born with some inherent traits.
Yes.
So, for example, maybe we are more vulnerable in certain aspects, or, for example, for me it was that I feel like I'm sensitive to the world around me, mm-hmm. sometimes a bit too much, and when I do not control this sensitivity, this listening, this vulnerability, it hurts me. And so also one thing that I had to, and it's still a work in progress, I've been trying to work on, is to let my vulnerability, to let my vulnerability serve me instead of hurting me.
Wow.
You know? Because, yeah, and then, for example, after moving to San Francisco, I had a low point, because it was, again, a few months ago, a new city, mm-hmm. was supposed to be easier because still within the U.S., but it was not, because it was even farther away from my loved ones, mm-hmm. from my family, from the friends like yours, that, mm-hmm. like you, that I have made until that point. And I was like, I realized that I had actually I thought I had found my true self, but then I didn't like her anymore. And so what do I do now? And because, you know, I realized that I was still in this past year filled with some anger, like still I wanted to prove others wrong. And when this August, I felt that I didn't have to prove anything anymore. I felt lost again because I felt like, okay, now I really lost my intrinsic motivation. I do not have an internal driver anymore. I spent my entire life trying, for example, to please my father, you know, and now that my dad says that he's proud of me, even though I'm still not allowed to work and not doing anything for like officially, I was like, what do I do now? Why am I supposed to keep going? And that forced me to rebuild a new part of myself. And randomly, I read this other book. It's about kintsugi, you know, the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery with gold. And so I came up with this other poem in this process of rebuilding myself, little action after little action. And it says, I didn't like... I thought I found my true self, but I didn't like her anymore. But instead of burning everything, this time I gathered the scraps and I glued them with gold. And this is how I'm trying to, you know, rebuild this part of myself without canceling what I've been, but just trying to keep... my anxiety with me when it arises. Just ask her, why are you here right now? What is wrong? Like, can you help me understand why I feel this way? So like really listening to her, because actually it's a woman in my mind.
I'm getting goosebumps as you say that. I think it's a beautiful... it's a beautiful message to say, like, you know, to anyone, always, A, we are allowed to reinvent ourselves every day of this life. There's no rules, right? But to also keep those little bits and pieces that makes who we are without, like, I think it's beautiful how you talk about, like, you know, this piece of your anxiety and... how do you try to understand it rather than like push it away and like just showing yourself so much grace and so much compassion as well to who you are and who you become. It's really touching me that you're saying like you thought that you found your true self and then you didn't like her anymore, because the true self that you found at the time was motivated by proving others wrong. And then you find yourself in a position where like, well, you have nothing else to prove, but then you're with yourself alone. And so you get to know yourself once you start really, when you stop people pleasing, when you stop doing things for others. And, you know, one piece that you wrote about is like the loneliness. Loneliness is so scary, but when you're lonely, you're with yourself and you kind of like, forced to like look at yourself in the mirror and face your fears, and it's scary and it's hard. But it feels like it's necessary for us to really find that true self that we feel inside of us, right? It's like you feel it physically that it's there, but sometimes it just doesn't want to come up. So how do you get there? I feel like we're still like, I know that myself, I'm still figuring it out. Like sometimes I feel like, oh, well, I found my true self. but I feel like I'm finding her even more every single day. And sometimes I'm taken aback, and sometimes I'm like pushed forwards. And it's like, there is no, like, it's like I was telling you before we started the recording, it feels like we're always changing and we're always evolving. And there is not, never, there's just one version of who we are. And I think to me, that was the most, it was one of the hardest things to just accept. I was like, well, I like this version of myself. I just want to be like that all the time. But just, I cannot, because life happens.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what helped me, again, like always, like looking backwards, it's always been like that, but I just couldn't realize at the time. Even this August will help me to restart again. Mm-hmm. It was art. And so I found art to be really therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, art and connections. One thing that I did, I adopted a cat.
Oh my God, yes, you did!
Yes. And that again, I mean, I've had many cats throughout my life, but this was the first one I really adopted without like my parents, you know. And so it is this creature that I have to provide for, mm-hmm. and it's like I do not have space to really feel down if I look at her, because it's such a pure creature, right? And to me, cats have really taught me to develop compassion within myself. And that is how also looking at my cat, finally meeting people in San Francisco, but even interacting with strangers at the cafe, it made me realize what is the purpose of my writing, of my poetry. I mean, the reason why I do art, it is because I want to have this space for reflection and connection with other human beings. Because ultimately, what saves me, at least, is connecting with others, to feel like we share similar experiences. So thinking that someone might resonate with what I write and what I create through my visual art, it is so powerful. Because myself, a few years ago, I know this woman, and at some point she started to post stories of women on LinkedIn, like these inspiring stories of women of success. Mm-hmm. And reading these stories gave me the strength and also the courage to start living my story, you know. And so I thought like, if they did it, I can also do it. And that is what I hope to do through my art.
I love that you're saying that, is that you found the courage to live your life in listening and reading about the stories of others.
Yes.
And I always say this, like, we're not supposed to do this alone, and sharing our stories is so empowering. We give people the validation that they need in the moment. And you do that through your art, you do that through your poems, through your blog, through as well the visual art that you produce. I think that's...
You're doing it through your podcast.
Thank you. But isn't it that beautiful to think like we can all connect through these little bits and pieces of our own vulnerability that we put out there, because we know it's going to resonate. We know, and there is something so beautiful about, and so romantic and poetic about this, is like the sense of community. Even if you don't directly interact with the person, like
like someone be listening to this podcast or someone gonna be going and read one of your poem on online, right? You will never meet that person. But somehow, because of the work that you put out there, you're connecting with that person indirectly and you're having an impact on each other's life because that person is reading your work. And you know it unconsciously that people are reading your work. So this is affecting as well, like your art and like how you keep sharing and putting yourself out there. And with it's just like the symbiosis is just, again, for me, it's pure magic and how and why we should celebrate coming together and this feeling of unity and just being close to one another, especially in these times.
Oh, yeah.
I say it.
You said it.
I said it. It's like, it's just so interesting to me. Like, art has always been very central to, like, us human. Like, we create art, like, not other species on this earth. And it's just like such a beautiful way to tell stories, to connect with people, to like also express ourselves.
Yeah, you know, I feel like as an artist, I have this responsibility of sharing what I discover, what I listen with others, you know. Like, as I said before, we all have our own inherent traits. Mm-hmm. So this is who, this is part of who I am, this artist identity, as like you have different responsibilities, you know, like you looking within yourself, you found this beautiful way of connecting with others through the podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beautiful that also you're giving space to people like me to share their story. And I really hope listen to to an episode dedicated to your story.
Oh my God, thank you.
I also...
You're not the first person saying that. And I'm like...
Yes.
I'm shy. I love to give space to others, but I'm shy to share mine. But, you know, it's like related to like success in wellness and also how you define success today. How do you feel like your vision of success has changed with like through sharing your heart? Because I believe, mm-hmm. right, it's... I believe it must be very different from before publishing your heart.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Like before, you know, especially when I was in the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm. during my college years also, I was in the wrong path. Looking backwards, I was focusing on the wrong area of science because what really moves me is like... It is not finding the right pharmaceutical treatment to cure people, but it is more like this intersection of neuroscience and psychology and spirituality, mm-hmm. And more to help people looking inward to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the question. Can you?
It was how... So the question was more about like, how do you now define success? But I love where you were going because for context, I think like we didn't say that earlier, but you're a scientist by training. Like you also have like the way that's what I love about you, by the way, is like the way you approach thing is like at the intersection of like science and spirituality, and that makes your perspective so unique to me, and I just enjoy it like better, like really I love that about you.
Thank you. But you know, yeah, but my perspective on success really changed because probably during that period, it was like, if I publish the research, I'm successful. If I graduate, I'm successful. If I if I'm hired by a big corporation, my father is happy, then I am successful. But it was all external, and my perspective completely shifted. Now it's more like, I feel like success is about self-awareness, having a healthy relationship with my fears without letting them dictate my choices, like finding harmony within myself. So it's like this shift from an external perspective to an internal perspective, because over time, I realized that healing meant learning how to, I mean, meant learning how to work with my emotions instead of resisting them. Yeah. You know, the story with about anxiety, taking it by hand, and you know, because there are many things in life that we cannot control. There will always be a certain level of uncertainty that we have to learn how to navigate. And just ultimately, I would say that living with intention and this sense of internal balance, despite all uncertainties, for me, this is like success.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. I got goosebumps the entire time right now, because what you said just resonates so well, is that what a beautiful definition of success, like from external to internal perspective. Yeah. Like, comprehension of like who you are and not fighting and surrendering is almost like a shift of perspective of like whatever happens, as long as you are aware of yourself and you understand what's going on to a certain level, like you have a sense of being successful within you. And gosh, I preach for that. I really preach for that. Because in every single stories that I'm hearing, this is always a common thread. It's like knowing yourself, loving yourself, and just being self-aware of where you stand and not limiting yourself to the physical world, in a sense, like what you have accomplished, like the degree, the company, the title. It's not of that. And I love that we're talking about this, and I love that more and more and more people are realizing this, because again, like, there are so many factors that just condition us to think one way, and when we break free from that, there's so much that comes with it, like losing relationship situation, etc., because we're resisting, or like, we're not resisting, we're breaking away from one path to just follow a path that is unshattered, and we don't know what's gonna happen, but we're going there. I just I don't know, I think I'm so inspired. I am so inspired.
I mean, and I've been inspired by you.
Oh,
have such an amazing energy. Like,
oh, thank
it
you.
Is a joy to be around you.
Oh my God, that's the best compliment. Thank you so much. I think that's really the best compliment. Thank you so much.
Of course. Oh. And we are really not performing because we are in front of like a microphone.
Oh my
God. I would really say to you, like, normally, like,
yeah, that's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of like just connecting and talking about life, about like what life feels like, and sometimes it's easier than other times. And you know, like, I something that I'm very grateful for is like, I know that I've had the right circumstances in my life to get where I am. But that doesn't take away from all the courage and the energy that I put towards wanting
the life that I have right now. And that's not to forget. And, you know, like, I think, like, something that I'm going to keep away from this podcast recording today is that we are all figuring things out as we go.
Constantly.
Yeah. Constantly. Like, transition, transformation is always constantly happening. Is there something you want to... You want to end the podcast with, like, whatever, a poem, a citation, a whatever, like something that your heart tells you, like, okay, this is how.
You know, a few days ago, I was setting up my new iPhone.
Yes.
And I was going through all the applications because I wanted to make sure not to lose anything. Because I had to trade in my old iPhone, and I opened Pages and I discovered this letter I had completely forgotten about. And it's a letter that I wrote 5 years ago.
What?
After moving to Berlin. And I never shared it to anyone, though it was like an open letter addressed to the world. Mm-hmm. And when I read it a few days ago, I thought, who knows, maybe I'll find like a way to share it through the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, because what really resonates with me, with the person I am today, is the conclusion that I wrote 5 years ago in that letter. And it was something like, I still don't know who I am and who I will become, but I know that I will not allow anyone to tell me what's right and what's best for my future, because this is my life.
I love that. Thank you so much, Valentina.
Thank you, Adeline. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Success in Wellness. I invite you to join me month after month as we delve into the inspiring stories of our guests and their unique perspective on success. Together, we'll journey through their past, present, and future, revealing that success isn't bound by a single definition, but rather evolves as we do throughout our lives. Hit that subscribe button now and let's elevate our journey to wellness and success together.